This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 6th of December, 2021. At the top of the program, just would like to point out that on Friday, we recorded a long-form webinar running through our outrageous predictions for 2022, our yearly exercise, and considering some of the crazier things that might happen and what they could mean for financial markets, not our sort of mainstream forecast, but an exercise in thinking out of the box and provoking some debate and opening up, you know, the idea that some really wild stuff can happen. I think maybe we're getting used to wild stuff happening, if you will, over the last couple of years. But you can see the link to this to the webinar on slide 2. We'll also provide that in the podcast description for today. The whole team on board running through these predictions and answering some of the users' questions out there as well. All right, let's get back to the market activity. And Friday, quite an interesting session because we saw some more volatility, another day-to-day big direction change. And a lot of the focus and intensity in the selling was in the bigger stocks, the mega caps. And you can see that in the relative performance recently of the NASDAQ 100. Look at the chart on slide 3 there. You can see we're getting, and we closed right on that key area, sort of the 15,700-ish area, which was the prior major market high from back in September. So pretty hefty selling there. And we've talked a lot about how the internals of the market are quite interesting. And also interesting to notice that these nominally interest rate sensitive stocks like the mega caps, NASDAQ 100 heavy, was not buoyed up by the very for the fresh buying at the long end of the U.S. Treasury curve and new lows at the long end of the curve in yield. So, Peter, take us through what you're looking at in terms of the internals here. And you also put in a Bitcoin chart for good reason.
Yeah. So we have, as we have been writing about all the last week and the late the week before, we are seeing a dislocation. We've talked about it on this podcast, bubble stocks, e-commerce, this whole growth pocket in the US equity market and elsewhere. We'll get back to that because we also have some comments on Alibaba. But that complex is really coming down hard. It has the ARK Innovation ETF as its center, and then all the technicals into all the various pockets. And part of it as well is the crypto. There's a huge, we know that from statistics that have been brought forward to the market from big retail brokers like Robinhood and Charles Schwab and E-Trade. We know from the US that there's a huge overlap in terms of exposure to crypto and these bubble / growth stocks among young people. So I think the sharp sell-off the massive sell-off, I should say, in crypto the weekend, it just tells you that liquidity is thin. It also tells you that some of the weakness we saw in the week leading into the weekend, as you can see, that's actually basically almost your month to date performance there on slide 3 in the table overview. So I think that a lot of these people that were holding crypto were having heavy losses in their growth stocks as well. And so there's definitely something here to be watching for sure. And it is a little bit odd, John, and it will, because in slide 4, we had very strong macro numbers, and then the US 10-year plunged on Friday, and the NASDAQ, which typically would do the opposite, is actually quite weak today and was weak on Friday. I just want to point out before you talk about the services sector, John, the chart to the right there on slide 4 shows you the labor market, US labor market. So the big arrow is basically where we went from prior to the pandemic to the low. So we had a big decline in participation, people falling out of the labor market, and the unemployment rate basically just jumping from very low, record low levels to record high levels. And now we have been tickling down and we are at that orange dot there. So unemployment rate, the lowest for the cycle, pushing lower, but look at that, the labor participation rate is not really moving much. And that, I suspect, is one of the drivers behind the wage pressures in the US.
Yeah, and it was an interesting jobs report on Friday because there are some confusing internals there and what I think people were focusing on. I'm not sure to what degree the bond market was reacting to this, because if you look at the full set of data from Friday, it shows the U.S. economy that's quite strong. But just very briefly on the U.S. the U.S. jobs report for November. So the average hourly earning was slightly below expectations, 0.1% less than expected on the month-to-month at 0.3, and then 0.2% less on the year-on-year. So only went down to 4.8% year-on-year. But we have to keep in mind that the average weekly hour data point, which has somewhat random fluctuations, if you will, increased incrementally to 0.1, which is explains virtually all of that so-called negative surprise, because the denominator was slightly larger. And then if you look at the that huge difference between the so-called household and establishment surveys, the establishment one is the one used for the non-farm payrolls change, which came in at half of the expected rate. But we all know there's been some poor data collection. These revisions are consistently higher. Somewhat low hiring numbers anyway could suggest a super tight labor market, et cetera, et cetera. But the household survey suggesting the opposite, because we have an enormous rise there in the number registered as employed and the unemployment rate dropping from 4.6% to 4.2% all in 1 month. So the speed of that normalization is incredible. And then, as I point out, slide four, the ISM services breaking the ceiling once again with a record reading, highest ever. And this is a comparative index. So this is on top of a very high number and the highest ever for the prior month. A U.S. services sector that is simply red hot. And then yet we see in the market, as we have discussed already, while the U.S., the Fed expectation, sorry, for rate hikes remains near the highs for the cycle. You can see this on slide five. The one on the left is the December Eurodollar short-term interest rate future for next year. And then on the right, the 30-year T-bond yield. Incredible that we're at the lowest level since the very first week of this year. Ola, what do you make of what the market is doing on Friday? Certainly selling natural gas because weather in the U.S. is quite balmy. But what else is shaking things up in the commodity space?
Well, I think what really shook the market and had a major impact last week was that the initial Omicron news, and also Powell's warning about inflation last week being the main focus. We just had the weekly cut data out on Friday, covering the week up to last Tuesday, and we basically see quite a big exodus. As you can see on slide 7 here, all commodities apart from some livestock saw heavy net selling, so a big reduction there, especially in the crude oil. Before we get to natural gas, you can see here on slide 8, we've been through this pretty strong correction now, tanking all the way down to the almost mid-60s last week, trying to recover now. The key is whether we can make it back above that 200-day moving average. But in terms of speculative interest, we have now seen the net long being cut to a 1-year low. That's a yellow line. And that's really, I mean, that's quite a turn of event when we've had so many bullish predictions in recent weeks. Hedge funds, they don't look at predictions. They look at the market. They look at momentum. Momentum has been fading since we peaked in October. And as a result of that, they have been cutting their exposure. And as the market just disappeared last week, they obviously had to respond even more aggressively in terms of selling. So pretty reduced lens there, which could be positive should we see a change in the technical or fundamental outlook, to especially to the upside. But you mentioned gas, John, and just before that, the key reason why we're a little bit lower, a little bit higher today in crude oil is the fact that Saudi Arabia increased their selling prices for January to near the highest level in 2 years. They add a small spread on top of the benchmark prices, and that's basically taken the market by the market as a sign that there are robust demand and strong enough demand to cope with that OPEC plus increase that was announced last week. But then turn to Natgas. What a head scratcher. What a diverted world we have here. Overnight, we saw gas prices in the US slump by another 8.5%. You can see that green line, just so you, a green dot. So you can see the how far down we come. We slumped by more than 30% in the last 6 trading days. And just highlight the importance of weather developments this time of year, where it's all about the strength of demand. And while we're seeing very strong demand in Europe and in Asia, we're seeing the opposite in the US. And as a result, the price are tumbling due to milder weather, but also production, which is, you can see in the insert there in the top right, which is still recovering quite nicely. That's basically leaving massive spreads between gas prices in the US and the rest of the world. And spare a thought for industries and consumers in Europe and Asia has to compete with, especially industry having to compete with a kind of very, very low price we see in the US.
Yeah, and we have a nervous time geopolitically as well. We have Biden and Putin supposedly about to talk on video call tomorrow in a situation where Russian troops are massed on the border, and apparently the U.S. has been out sharing intelligence in what is considered a bit of an unusual way with some of its allies. So for them to understand how seriously the U.S. is taking the threat at this point in time. So, you know, one thing we certainly don't need in the energy markets would be something on the scale of a Ukraine invasion by Russia. But let's take that one day at a time, just to be aware that tomorrow looks like we can see some interesting signals on that front. And then to round out the reaction to Friday's situation and Friday's data and how that triggered activity across the markets, we saw the dollar spiking stronger, the yen spiking stronger still, of course, aided by those very low yields at the long end of the U.S. yield curve. And it's gotten to the point where we're reaching some critical and pivotal levels in the longer term charts. So something like Aussie dollar, you can see on slide 6, that 0.70 level, a massive one that's been in play since well before the pandemic. And there was also a key sticking point on the way up. And that comes at a time where we have an RBA meeting up tonight, very low stakes one, because we have, of course, Omicron uncertainty, and we have an RBA that says it wants to wait till February to decide next steps anyway. But just look at the scale of that slide and the persistence and the obviously that technical level very much in focus. Generally seeing across the FX space, this risk-off, typical classic risk-off currencies, weak and risk, and then the traditional safe havens doing quite well. The Swiss yen in particular, the Swiss franc and Japanese yen in particular, and the euro and sterling sort of somewhere in between. All right, let's get back to an equity focus. It felt like, or it feels like, I should say, the market is very nervous with these choppy action. You know, if you look at where the S&P, for example, is this morning relative to where it was last week, we haven't exactly seen carnage or anything. It just feels like the market is quite uncertain here and nervy. Where's your focus this week? And as you look forward to the rest of the week, Peter?
Yeah, today, I think the short... Yeah, so if we take the week perspective, I think there is definitely a reason to watch China, because we had Evergrande down 16% in today's session, touching a new secular low or a new low over the past 4 years. The company is said to be engaging with offshore creditors in a restructuring effort. That was also the reason why the chairman was summoned to the by the Guangdong government over the weekend, and you had the PBOC and the regulators. The securities regulator in China, very outspoken, both on Friday over the weekend, to that they would, you know, do everything they could together with the local government to diffuse any risk, and that any potential spillover effect into the capital market would be manageable. So there's a lot of things going on the Chinese side in the housing sector, and you have KSEC Group, which this week will have has a looming deadline on one of its offshore payments on debt. So a lot of things to watch there. And then Alibaba. So they're restructuring their leadership. Apparently they're also doing that in Twitter. I'll get back to that. But in Alibaba, they are removing their current CFO. And Alibaba, although was rising in today's session from the lows, it was still down compared to the Friday's close in the Hong Kong listing. And the key thing is that investors are getting worried, given this delisting of DD Global from the U.S. exchanges, that Alibaba will be forced to potentially also delist in the U.S. and go with their Hong Kong listing only. And as of today, there is around 5% of the shares held by investors that can only, and that's a fat underline under only, own the ADRs. So that's a 5% that needs to find a new home right there. And the home won't be in Hong Kong. So it's you have to find 5% new investors. And just look at the chart here. So Alibaba was worth $900 billion at the peak. And as of today, only $300 billion. That's still a big company, but it's, it's very dramatic. Twitter, we know Jack Dorsey stepped down last week. I think Twitter will be in focus the entire week, actually, because I think there is a huge, there's a lot of flow that goes in and out now of Twitter. All shareholders that probably are selling because of Jack Dorsey is gone. And also I think short-term noise and risk is obviously going up for Twitter with the new CEO. Key departures across engineering and design and product development. Over the weekend, he's shaping up with a new leadership team there. So that's definitely also a stock to watch. And then in terms of earnings, today's key focus is on MongoDB, which has been one of these massively successful companies in growth. You could potentially say that they are part of they are at the fringes of the bubble stocks pocket. They definitely have a tentacle to that. As you can see here, they have been down massively over the past 2 weeks. So they have been caught in this sell-off we've talked so much about, and they're reporting today. So it's going to be extremely interesting to see if they can sort of hit the mark here on expectation, or they will take another big hit. We had that DocuSign hit and decline of almost 40% last week, which was very, very painful. So let's see how things shape up for MongoDB.
All right, and let's see how things shape up for Omicron news this week. You can look at the the negative side, which is what seems to be incredible transmissibility, and then on the positive side, which is still a very anecdotal, that appears to be that the sickness levels are somewhat low. So we just don't know yet, and we'll have to watch that news flow. Of course, day to day, there is a new COVID pill treatment for those that are already sick. It could be quite interesting. It could be approved first in the UK, as far as I understand, and we'll watch the progress of that as well. So we look at the macro calendar. It's a Monday, so not much on the list for today. We have that RBA meeting, as indicated tonight. Very low expectations around that. And for the rest of the week, the focus will be towards the back end of the week with that Chinese November PPI and CPI levels, especially the PPI after its record, record for modern time levels registered in recent months. And then the US November CPI expected out 6.7%. That would be a new multi-decade high. How does that sit relative to, of course, some of the prices we've seen coming down for key inputs into the economy, like natural gas, at least in the US, and of course, crude oil, which are key components driving underlying inflationary pressure. So very interesting to see that mix this week and how the market is digesting this ongoing and very major shift from by the Fed, the Powell Fed, in favor of sending out a tough inflation fighting message versus its prior stance. So we'll have to watch for any central bank that are out speaking this week, although I think we pretty much have had the message beaten into our heads quite thoroughly over the last week. With that, we'll call it a wrap. We'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.